Before you, my heart is filled with love and gratitude, and we thank God for the people who he has blessed us with in this church, and we pray that whatever the challenges we may be facing in our lives, one step by one step, here a little, there a little, the Lord will make a way. Amen. Amen. And happy Mother's Day! Yeah! Okay, this is it all. I mean, there's nothing else anywhere. Happy yourself, Abby. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. All you have is now. This morning, it's a privilege to speak to you about staying on course and paying the price. Staying on course and paying the price. I want to start with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3.
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
Amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 16.
2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Yes.
Verse 12.
Yes, to 16.
To 16.
Yes.
Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ.
Okay. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Please, we are building a foundation, so take note of the things you are reading. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3.
Yes.
You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5.
2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay, a story is told about a young man and a young girl who were courting each other. And as young men like doing, when they find a woman that they like, they say all sorts of stories. Somebody used to write me poems. They say all sorts of stories and put together all sorts of magic words. So this man or this young man going to con this girl, if I may say so, wrote this lengthy letter and how he will climb Mount Everest for her and face all Otumfuo's gangsters for her and all sorts of things. Nothing can stop the love between us. It's like a mighty flood and so on. And the girl got this letter and she was just overjoyed. So she calls this soldier of love. And after chatting with her, she asks him, so will I see you this evening? And he says to her, if it doesn't rain, I'll come. Now, I don't know if you get the irony in what I'm saying. This is somebody who has promised to climb Mount Everest and go to Pluto and bring back the sun and face Otum for himself, for her. And she wants you to come and visit. And you're saying, if it doesn't rain, you will come. That's how a lot of us' attitude to our lives are. That's how a lot of us' attitude to challenges, to the talents, the things God has blessed us with. That's how some of us are. If it doesn't rain, I'll come. You're supposed to be in church. If I'm not tired, I'll come. You're supposed to pray. Wake up at dawn and pray. If I'm not tired, I'll come. You're supposed to wake up early and teach the children God has blessed you with the word of God. When I finish watching TV, I'll do it. We are quick to make promises. We are quick to promise things and we'll do this and New Year's resolutions and this and that and that. But the slightest challenge we face, we are running away. This morning, may the Lord teach us to stay the course and pay the price. May the Lord teach us to suffer well. When we think about wellness, we don't think about suffering, do we? No. Suffering and well, they don't go together. Suffering well. But that's the problem of the modern day Christian. We think life is supposed to be easy. We think once you're born again, Christian, tongue blasting, spirit filled, that's it. Life is supposed to be easy. But that's only the beginning of your problems, I can promise you. Because now the devil has taken notice of you. Now you're in trouble. Because first you were of no use to him. But now you're against him. So it's time to suffer well. God did not promise us that there will be no storms. But he promised us what? That even in the storms, he would be with us. Now, in the work that I do, some of you may know what I do. I'm a judge. And one of the most unpleasant things that I do as a judge is divorces. People come before me, and you'll be surprised. Those who are coming for divorces are not people from the fetish and people who are drinking and smoking. They are from the church, from ICGC, from all the other Pentecost, all the other ones. Some are counselors themselves, marriage counselors. Some have been married 1 year, 6 months, 2 years. At the other extreme, some have been married 22 years, 25 years. You've stuck with the person for 25 years, and what has changed? And I ask them, what is the challenge? Why do you want a divorce? Usually the men say, she doesn't respect me. Ghanaian men, most of them. She doesn't respect me. Usually the women say, he doesn't take care of us. He doesn't provide for the house. He doesn't pay his children's school fees. He has girlfriends outside. And I'm not holding brief for anybody. But when we stand before God on our wedding day and we swear for better, for worse, why do we so quickly forget about the worse? We stay when everything is okay. And the slightest appearance of problems, then we're running away. Christians are typical human beings. We don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. And I think it's normal. But suffering is part of life. I was telling one of my daughters some time ago that sometimes when you see a person, and I said, you look at me and you see me always smiling, my hair, I've done my pony and I'm smiling and so on and so forth. If I tell you my story, you may not believe it. You see me today and maybe you admire me. But if you know the price to get here, it may not seem so attractive after all. As people, we always want the rainbow, the beauty. But we don't want the storm. If it doesn't rain, storm, there's no rainbow. The kind of rain that it drops one, two, here a little, there a little, it doesn't bring rainbows. It's the storm. The guguru guguru and the lightning and confusion. And after that, then the peace. So I came to encourage you, my sisters and my brothers, that life is hard. Dr. Mensa Otabo, our founder, he said, Obra ye okun. Obra ye okun. Life is hard. And once you condition your mind from the beginning that life is hard, then you're prepared to face the storms. But when you think life is meant to be easy and the problems come, then you're shaken. We have an anchor. Let's sing our hymn. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. So will your one in the storm so high. Think through what you're saying. Think through it. When your anchor holds, when the storms are coming, when the problems, whether it's a job, whether it's your child, your marriage, your finances, will your anchor hold? Problems, believe me, they are everywhere. If you change this job and take another, it will find you there. If you leave this woman and take another, you will find problems. Your children, everywhere there are problems. And suffering, problems comes in different ways. Some are fleeting, just for the moment, and it's gone. Some also come and change your life forever. Like maybe the death of a loved one, the death of a parent, the death of a child, the loss of a marriage, maybe a disease, a terminal disease. Some are also self-inflicted. Sometimes we ourselves are the cause of our own problems. I remember when I was having my first child, Asada. The pain, I was induced, the pain of labor alone. At the time, I thought it was the end of the world. But today, standing here, I don't even remember it. All I remember that it was painful. But I can't recapture what that felt like. Sometimes, unwanted pregnancies, you fail an exam. You become obolo like me. Some problems we can work on. The problems we can work on, let's work on them. Some we can only do our best and leave the rest to God. But if there's nothing that you remember from me today, I want you to remember that as for life, it's full of problems. It's full of suffering. So face your challenge, whatever it may be. Some have no cause. You don't know how it happened. Years ago, in the early 2000s or in the 1990s, something, one of these contemporary singers, I think his name is Shaggy, he had a song, "Why Me, Lord? Why Me?" You don't know where it came from. Why me? Why is this happening to me? After all my commitments, after all my dedication, why? But sometimes suffering refines us. It shows us your flaws, your weaknesses. Suffering is like a mirror. It comes to strengthen you. It comes to strengthen you. Suffer well. Go through it. Whatever the challenge is, whatever the problem is, face your problems head on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Face your problems head on. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 4, that yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isn't that interesting? He starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want, why are you passing through the valley of the shadow of death? Isn't it? I mean, if you start a prayer or a poem or whatever it is by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want," I would expect the rest to be goodness. Isn't it? You recite the goodnesses and the things, the benefits of the Lord being your shepherd and you not wanting. But he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." This morning, I want you to think, be sober and think through. "Yea, though I walk through the valley." Not the hills, so I will look up onto the hills. Today we are not on the hills. Today we are in the valley. Not only the valley, of the shadow of death. After promising me that the Lord is my shepherd, like the Nigerians say, which kind God be this one? Life is tough. Obra ye oku. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done on earth. The Lord's Prayer. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If we are asking God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, why do we in the next line say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Why? This is Jesus himself's prayer. In the previous verse, we've already said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is there hunger in heaven? So why do we in the next, why did Jesus, after asking for God, telling us that we should see God's will on earth as it is in heaven where there is no hunger, why does he in the next line say what? "Give us this day our daily bread"? Life is tough. Life is full of problems. I can promise you that you will face challenges. You will face opposition from your own household, not from outside even. Right in your own household, your own family. Life is tough. Life is tough, but you must face your problems. You must stay the course. You must not give up. When we watch people running the races, the 100 meters, 400 meters, some of them trip and fall, don't they? They fall. What do they do? They picked themselves up and they continued the race. Don't give up. Don't give up, no matter what the challenge is. COVID has come and brought even more problems. One of the things I do, another thing I do in my work, is I do criminal matters. Now, for those of you who have businesses, even the church, you know you're supposed to pay SNIT, don't you? So SNIT comes to court and brings those who have not paid their workers their SNIT entitlement. There's one brewing now with the lighthouse. I don't know if you're hearing what's going on. And when these people come, I sit there in my black wig and my gown and all that, and I look very, very fearsome. But my heart goes out to them. Because indeed, times are hard. Businesses are collapsing. Schools have shut. So many businesses were not able to make it out of COVID. And these people are being dragged before me because they haven't paid SNIT. Life is hard. So what do we do with all these problems? Don't be afraid to be different. The world wants all of us to conform. The world wants all of us. I remember some years ago when I finished law school, I wanted to join the police. My husband said, you and your mouth chubby, chubby, chubby like that, they will kill you. Stay in the house. He didn't let me go. He said, you, somebody will go and take bribe. And your mouth chubby, 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 you go and talk. Stay home. You're not going anywhere. People want us to conform. Don't conform. Don't bow down to the pressure. Don't be afraid to. My young ones, please. When you're writing exams and everybody's cheating, keep your integrity. Keep your honesty. Be true. Be faithful to the God that you serve. When everybody is saying, eh, if you are going to buy a car, you have to test it first. How can you drive a car and not test it? Keep yourself. You are not a car. You are not a car. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called unto God, sanctified for his purpose. Don't cheat. Don't lie. Don't take the shortcuts. Stay true to the cause. Despite the problems, despite the difficulties, the challenges. Last year during the COVID, Daddy and I were helping a young student from Central University who was having financial challenges. And the way the young lady was going about it, I said to Daddy that this young lady, if you're not careful, she'll give herself to a man. Because on paper, and a lot of us are like that. On paper, we seem to have some entitlement that suffering is for other people, as for us. 2 days ago or 3 days ago, she called and said she had a two-month-old baby. I said, ah. Yempebre, we don't want to go through the refining fire. Refining fire. God's will. Have you been set apart for him? I choose to be holy. I choose not to bow down to the pressures of this world. Stand for the right. Don't compromise. Be honest. Work efficiently. And practice. Practice. Whatever your field is in, don't be stagnant. Grow. if you're a hairdresser, go on the internet. Learn how to do new things. Instead of spending all your data on looking at people's statuses and commenting, the Ufi asked them, may his soul rest in peace. Don't spend your data on people's statuses and all the foolishness and nonsense that goes on social media. Develop yourself. When we close church today, do a state of the nation's address of yourself. Compare yourself to 2 years ago. What have you learned? Anything new? Any new skill? Compare yourself from today to 2 years of your life. What have you learned? Any new skill? Anything? Accounting, money. There are a lot of open universities on the web today. There's so much you can do. Don't wait until the opportunity comes to prepare. It will be too late. Prepare now, and the opportunity will come. It doesn't matter how old you are. The business, the field in which you are, there are new things every day. Don't stagnate. No. No. The difference between people who are surviving despite the storms and those who break under the storm is they find new ways out. They find new ways of communicating with the Holy Spirit. They find new ways of praying, of learning more about God's word, of learning more about the field in which they are. And deny yourself. Deny yourself. You are Bolo like me. At 12 p.m., you wake up and go and eat bread. You know you have cholesterol. And you're eating chofi and wache. And the wache, it is like River Jordan. The rest of the wache is soaked in oil. And you have cholesterol. And you see an obit, you hear somebody died. And you say, oh, awoma, yes, I awoma. Ne man kitting, kitting, kitting. Oh, and I will wage an emano. Who be wage awoma? Cholesterol. And these things are not God. It's not God who shortens our lifespan. It's we ourselves. Some of our problems are self-inflicted. Change. Change the narration. If you don't like what you're seeing in your life, change what you're doing. If you don't change what you're doing, it's going to remain the same. Change. Choose the pain of discipline. You know you should be reading, learning for your exams. You are watching World Wrestling something something. You're watching wrestling at 11 p.m. and you will stay up and watch the wrestling until somebody beats somebody. You're supposed to be learning. You know you have to wake up and be at work early. There's traffic on your route. And you won't sleep early. You're up watching porno. Change. If you don't like what you're seeing, change. The power is in your hands. Change it. Change it. There are no victories when you give in or you give up. There are only tears and regrets. There are only tears and regrets. You have 24 hours like everybody else. Since we woke up this morning and had our baths and dressed and ironed and so on and so forth and got to church, somebody within the same space has traveled to Dubai. You know that. The same 24 hours. The same 24 hours. Nobody has even 0.5 extra. And look at what people are doing with their 24 hours. Sometimes you look at other people's children, how neat and disciplined and respectful they are. And then you will sit down and watch a jackal insulting people with your children. And then you wonder, what are you sowing into your children? What are you exposing them to? You switch on the TV and there's somebody half naked twerking. And then you are doing it and are they saying, hey. And then she's in GHS and she's wearing some. What are you sowing into your children? What seeds are you sowing? What conversations are you having on the phone? You think she's a child. She doesn't understand what you're saying. She does. You're discussing her father with your sister and your mother. And you think she doesn't understand. She does. We are sowing seeds. And we don't want the fruits of the seeds we are sowing. Change. Take away the laziness. You're talking about the same 24 hours. Put away from us the envy, the jealousy, the gossip, sleep. We are my bread. Social media, self-pity, anger. Tomorrow I'll do it. Tomorrow I'll do it. Proverbs. Proverbs says that the fool has been given food. I think it's in Proverbs 26. Is it Proverbs 26, I think? Proverbs 26, 15 or so. 26, yes, I think Proverbs 26, 15. If you can go to Proverbs chapter 26, verse. Is it 15? What does it say? What does Proverbs? Yes, the lazy man. There's a bowl in front of him. There's food in it. But he feels too tired to pick the food and put in his mouth. We are blessed with talent, with beauty. Some of us can sing. Some of us can talk and sell thread to a spider. Come on, the way we can yob. It's a talent God has put in you. Go and do marketing. What do you enjoy doing? What comes to you easily? Get paid for it. Don't spend it gossiping. What comes easily? What do you get joy out of? Find a job, an area, and get paid for it. Me, I like talking. I'm a talkative. My poor husband, he's very quiet. I talk constantly. He has to listen to me. Because I don't have friends. He's the only friend I have with my children. I talk, and now I'm paid to talk to people. And it comes easily, and I enjoy my job. I love what I do. There's nothing more miserable than being stuck in a job or a condition that you don't like. Find your strength. And please, from today, Daddy, if you permit me to say this, shut up. We talk too much. Some of us talk too much. Shut up. Keep quiet. Befriend yourself. Some of us are so busy befriending other people, we don't know ourselves. We don't know who we are. We don't understand ourselves. Get to know yourself. Get to understand yourself. What makes you tick? Why is that when you see this, something happens to you? Your soul is speaking to you. Your spirit is telling you something. Somebody sees me and says, this woman, if she had added this color to her dress, she would have looked beautiful. Your spirit is telling you something. Maybe you should be into beauty. Somebody can look at your face, look at you, and ask you why. Did you not sleep well? Maybe you should be into health. Some of you love children. You like playing with children. If you see a child right now, you call her and play and laugh. Look for a ministry that has to do with you. Keep quiet. Listen to yourself. The universe is telling you something. Listen. Some of us are not prospering because we are not where we are supposed to be. There are certain soils that if you plant an onion in, it doesn't matter what you do, it will not grow.
Human beings are like that. Listen, if you listen to yourself, you will not marry the wrong person. If it is the Spirit of God that dwells in us, then listen. He's saying something. Listen, hear what the Spirit has to say. Listen, keep quiet. Some of us are afraid to be alone. We can't stay quiet. We can't. We must, oh, there must be somebody all the time with us. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? If you can't befriend yourself, how can you be a friend to somebody else? Listen to yourself. You are wiser than you think. Get rid of all the superficial things. That interest you anymore? Get rid of it. Be quiet. Reflect, sober. And then delay gratification. Delay gratification. Mr. Otabel once preached a sermon. And he said he suffered so much from poverty when he was growing up that finally, when things began to get better and money started coming into his pocket small, small, he said when he was young, his greatest achievement was that he would make Gary Soakings, Gary Soakings, with milk sachet and groundnuts. That was his greatest dream. So when things gradually started to get better, he did make the Gary Soakings and the milk sachet. And then he put the bowl in front of himself and looked at the food and refused to touch it. What is it that is enticing you? What is it that entices you that you can't say no to? What is it? Is it money? Is it food? Is it sex? Is it TV? What is it? Deny yourself. Don't let anything master you. Anything that masters you will conquer you. Don't let any habit master you. Some of us, sleep has mastered us. If you sit in a church room 2 minutes, you will sleep. If you are cooking and you leave the meat to steam and go and sit down 2 minutes, you will sleep. Some of us use our phone, social media, always chatting. And this person has done this. And that person put, and if you are be a share, and an issue. And there's too much noise. Don't let anything master you, because whatever masters you will conquer you and eventually will be your downfall. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow Christ. And don't wait until you feel good to pay the price. Sometimes we stand here, pastor stands here and asks, let's give, do this, do that. Today I don't have money. We always want to wait for the time to be right. If you wait for the time always to be right, you will miss the opportunity. You'll miss the blessings of God. Because all of us sitting here today, we are a product of the choices we've made right from the day we were born. Your health now is a product of the choices of food you've eaten, whether you diet, whether you exercise, what kind of food you eat. Your health today, if we are to call Lancet or whatever it is, who do the blood diagnostics, and they test our health, our blood, our heart, our circulation, whatever they'll come up with, you are a product of the choices you've made. What did you eat yesterday? At what time did you eat it? Did you walk? Did you take alcohol? Everything you are today is the sum total of the choices you yourself have made. If you don't like it, change it. Don't settle for average. It's okay. Anyashwe, fame nyame. Anyashwe, aden. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. And I'm wrapping up. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. Senor.
Verse 20. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. And he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. Amen.
Let this be our testimony. Let people say this of us, that, as for Ajua, she does what is good and right before the Lord. Let's be honest. I can't say that enough. We've become this. We're always lying. Petty things. You call me somebody. Are you sleeping? No. I'm just lying down. Obwanso, wada. We've become, it comes as a habit. We do it without even thinking. The person can hear from us. Wada. I said that be a minda. I mean that okay. It comes, lying has become part of us. It comes more easily to us. Please, let's be honest and stop procrastinating. Tomorrow I'll do it. The Bible says God is, I am that I am. Present, now, here. Tomorrow is not promised anyone. A time has come today, from today. All we have is today. Let's be the best of what we can be today. You see, the time that is past, you cannot recapture it. You can't give 50% of your best today and go and give 150% tomorrow. No, it's gone. That's it. So make the best of today and pay attention to detail. I can't say that enough. Pay attention to detail. When you're writing, pay attention. The young ones, pay attention to detail. If it is busy, write B-U-S-Y. Don't write B-U-S-I. And say, some try not to ask here. Pay attention to detail. Observe. Pay attention to detail. The little choices that we make, it matters. Whether you wake up and you drink water or you wake up and you drink Fanta, it matters. You think it doesn't matter. It's only today. It does. It's adding up to your health. Whether you put too much salt in the food or you didn't, it matters. It's adding up to your BP. Pay attention to detail. Whether you saved that one CD or you went and bought yogurt, just one CD, it doesn't matter. It does. It's adding up to your bank account. It's adding up to your character. Pay attention to detail. And please, stand out. Don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be unique. Don't be afraid to be fierce. Stand out. And finally, everything I've said to you in the past few minutes, what will happen if you don't start, if you don't do what I've said? What will happen? Nothing. And I mean that. Nothing will happen. You will not grow. You will not improve. The grace of God upon your life will not increase. Nothing. If you don't listen to what I'm saying to you now and change, what will happen? Nothing. Nothing will happen. You will not grow. You will not accelerate. You will not improve. Your health will not get better. Your finances will not change. The same. The same. Nothing. If there's let's say this is wood, okay? Maybe this is a bridge. I'm standing here. I want to get here. Now, this bridge, it's been raining. It's rotten. There's a hole in it. And this is something a lot of us do. Instead of taking off the bridge and getting a solid one, we go and find another plywood and we cover it. That's how a lot of us deal with the problems in our lives. Instead of rooting it out from the bottom, rooter mixture. It's bitter, but it gets rid of the problem from the bottom. We don't do that. We find wood, another one, and put it on. And because the foundation is shallow, that one starts to cave in. Then we do what? We find another one. And then we find another one. And then it's rotten. And it's rotten. And it's festering. And it's getting maggots. And it's getting worse. And the smell. And it's spoiling everything around us. But the wherewithal to uproot it from the bottom We are not prepared to do it. Pay the price. What are the problems in your life? What is the source of the problem? Uproot it. Is it your laziness? Is it your impatience? Uproot it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the glory that was set before him, he paid the price. My brothers and my sisters, my daughters, my sons, there's a glory set before us somewhere. Pay the price. Pay the price. Stick to the course. You'll be resisted. People will criticize you. People will insult you. How do you handle that? Outgive them. Outlove them. By patience. Pay the price. Pay the price. Don't give up. There's a glory coming ahead. Pray. 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 Finally, how do we end? Pray. Get to know God. Let the Holy Spirit minister unto you. Brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. Wake up. When you don't feel like it, get out of bed. When you would rather sleep 5 minutes more, get up. Brush your teeth. Lay your bed. Eat nourishing food. Listen to yourself. God is telling you something. And don't feel overwhelmed. In my job, I write judgments. Judges are the representatives of God on earth. People come before me, I wasn't there. And they tell me this did this, and no, I didn't do it. And I have to listen to all these people. And one says he did it, one says he didn't do it, and so on and so on. And I'm sitting there confused. God, what do I do? At the end of the day, after taking evidence, after listening to this, after that, and so on and so forth, and speaking English, and I come and do my Lord, and your worship and all that, I have to write a judgment. And I've realized that sometimes I am so afraid to do the wrong thing that I can't even start. I can't even pick the pen and start writing the judgment. The fear alone cripples me. I feel overwhelmed. So recently what I did was, I asked for the judgments of the previous judge, the judge who was in my court before me. And Auntie knows, she also works in a court. So I asked for some of her judgments. And I started reading through. And I said, is this all? Is this all there is to it? But I can do this. Some of them I can even do better. But why? The fear. Sometimes the problems, the things we need to do, they overwhelm us. It seems like we can't do it. Take that first step. Start. Read, learn, seek wisdom, ask, pray, and God will make a way. He will make a way for us. The same way now, I know that I can write my judgments because I have seen those who have gone ahead. The Bible says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have gone ahead before us. If you have a challenge, go to the Bible. I'm telling you, the Bible has an answer for every situation. No? Sometimes the cases that come before me, if you go to the Old Testament, they are there. They are there. So seek counsel. Whatever the problem is, whatever your problem is, don't give up. Seek counsel. Seek godly advice. There's a way. He will make a path for you. He'll come through for you. He'll come. I can promise you that. I've been through a lot. I've had babies on the carpet at home alone. That baby that I'm speaking about was a breech baby. I should have had a CS. And at that time, money was hard at home. Times were hard. My husband and I would drink garri and sleep. We had nothing. And I was pregnant. I was expecting a baby. And when I went to do the scan, the baby was breech. She was lying. Those of us who know what a breech baby is, immediately they have to do a CS. Where were we going to get that money from? That weekend that we were supposed to go and do the CS, all the money we had on us was 20 Ghana cedis. Not that there was some in a bank account somewhere. All the money, myself, my husband, and my daughter, Asida, as a family, what we had, we were worth. You see how people say, Bill Gates' net worth. We are net worth. 20 Ghana cedis. And I was supposed to do a CS. Where were we going to get the money from? Who? Sometimes my husband says to me, hey, Ajua, I'm talking about today, not then. What I'm saying now. So my husband says, hey, Ajua. First, he used to call me Ajua Semenshia. Now he calls me Ajua Buga Buga. So, Ajua Buga Buga, Miss Yes. If we need 500 Ghana cedis, giddy, say, yay. Why in Yakwa Kobone, Nehobusia? Why never mind? And I look at him, and to be honest, I don't know. I have no one. Today. I send my bani, you see me here, 500, gay. I don't know who I'm going to ask. Me ne obia. I just see your hatas row, yeah. Psalm 46, verse 1. Our God is a very present help in times of need. So as I close, I tell you, there's this baby who is coming, and I have 20 Ghana cedis. We were supposed to go to the hospital on Tuesday. Saturday evening, getting to Sunday dawn, I begin to feel funny. My husband, as usual, is praying. He's a man of prayer. Let's give it up for our papa. He's a man of prayer, and his prayer has kept a lot of us to this day. As usual, praying in the hall. As usual, I was sleeping. Usually, he's praying, I'm sleeping. And then I started to feel funny. So I went to him. I said, I don't feel too well. He says, okay, should we go to the hospital? I said, oh, at dawn like this, let's wait a little. About 10, 15 minutes later, I have this pain. And I feel like I want to go to the bathroom. So quickly, I rush to the bathroom. And I realized the baby is coming. And I run back. I say, hey, D, the baby is coming. And he rushes down to go and get his car and come to the front of the house. And that's why we're not living where we are living now. We're living at Anya, some ghetto. And Anya N90, some ghetto there. They had stopped shops down and we're living up. So he rushes down to go and get his car and bring it to the front of the car. The moment he gets out of the door, I realize that the baby's head is coming. And I'm wearing my 90 and a cloth. So I remember I just laid down on the carpet and the baby came out. Sack and everything, she just came out onto the carpet. And I said, hey, God, Erade into me woo. Is this how it, I thought I was dead. And I said, Erade, so is this how it feels to die? Into me woo, meja di ho, meja asida ho. And the baby begins to cry. I say, Rady, say me woo yo, me woo ye, me woo ye. And I picked my cloth and I picked my baby. And I wiped all the, you see, she came out in the sack and the water. So when she hits the carpet, the sack burst. So I wiped the water and the sack and everything that was stuck to her and wrapped her in the dry part of the cloth and put her on my stomach. So when he came up, that's how he met us lying on the floor with the baby on. Now, with this 20 Ghana cedis, the umbilical cord hadn't come. And we had to go to the hospital. He didn't know whether to carry me. We were all confused. So finally, we get into a car from Anya. Every step of the way, every medical, this was about 1 a.m., everywhere we get to. This nursing homes and everywhere. Nobody, everybody's afraid of armed robbery. At 1 a.m., what are you doing on knocking on somebody's door? Finally, we get to Nyamiche Junction. There was a new hospital there called MAP. When we got there, the midwife quickly came out. She said her story. Hey, I don't even need to get out of the car. She brought disposable bed sheets. Hey, treated us like VIP. Now it's time to pay. Madam VIP, where's your money? The woman comes out and we say, Madam Nurse, our bill. And she says to me, when you came, the baby wasn't breathing properly. So we had to suck things out of her and give her an injection for exposure. For that injection, we'll take 4 cedis. The rest is free. This is the God we serve. This is the God who we serve. The God who took me through that. Who afterwards, the nurse told us that the placenta stayed too long in my stomach. So we have to go to a major hospital. We drove all the way to Kolebo. When we got there, nobody was minding us. We went to North Kaneshi, Holy Trinity. We went there, they said they don't take, that time they didn't do babies, deliveries. So they won't take care of us. And by this time, the car, there was no fuel in it. It has started to jerk. From North Kaneshi to Ablekuma, 14 Ghana cedis. I said, D, if armed robbers should stop us right now with a newborn baby, 2-hour-old baby, and we say we don't have money, nobody will believe us. If this car should stop right now, we can't take a taxi, we can't buy fuel. Because from North Kaneshi to Ablekuma, they will not take 14 cedis from you. And it's not like, you see how you take a drop in sometimes because you don't have money. And then when you get home, you go and take the money. We think there's nothing at home. So let's go home. God will take care of us. And my husband listened, and the car was checking. And from North Kaneshi to Ablekuma, my brothers and sisters, when we got into my gate, the car stopped. Psalm 46 verse 1, our God is a very present help in times of need. So the God who helped me deliver, and you know when a child is coming out, when the head comes out, somebody needs to turn the baby like this. My mothers are nodding. Who turned my baby for me? I was alone. My husband was downstairs. My baby was sleeping. The God who delivers breech babies alone in some ghetto at Ablekuma, that God will see you. May the Lord bless you. May he protect you. May he see you through every problem in your life. May the Lord teach you that every choice that you make matters. May the Lord teach you that you shouldn't give up. May the Lord teach you that you shouldn't cut corners. May he see you through. May the opportunities come through for you. And on this Mother's Day, remember that life is tough, but our God is tougher. Amen. Amen.